What you're about to hear is part of the Podgods Network. If you have a problem with anything you hear, please write it in an email and go fuck yourself. Enjoy the show! Thank you for choosing the Oddcast Podcast UK on the Podgods Network. The Oddcast Podcast. The podcast nobody is listening to, except you. The following podcast contains strong language, topics of discussion that could offend, and discussions about Batman. You have been warned.
Episode 71. Yes, 71 episodes of the Oddcast Podcast. You're still here. Unless it's your first episode and you're listening to us now as your first episode, welcome. Where have you been? Bloody hell. You took your time, didn't you? Right, okay. Episode 71. Bit of a change of plan on this one, people. Usually we'd go straight into the podcast. It'd be me, Ash, Will, maybe Marcus, maybe Billy. I don't know. Whoever wants to join us. Do you want to join us? You listening? You want to join? Blimey, you're not allowed to join us. No. Got to have a straining that order out on you, mate. Yeah, don't you... Yeah, don't complain. It's happened. Yeah, so it's just me at the moment. Alright, here's the deal, guys. This is what happened. Okay. Episode 71 exists. There was a full hour and 20 minutes worth of podcast on my computer, ready to go out for you. But you're not going to hear that. Right, okay. I'm all for getting drunk on a podcast and having a good time and having a laugh and being all random and odd. Because we're the Oddcast podcast. But this one really, really just went south. We sat there, the four of us. It was me, Will, Ash, Marcus. And I think the first 20 minutes, yeah, it was okay. We managed to get through it. But then after that, it just fell to pieces. It was car crash radio podcast. It was the worst thing you're probably ever going to hear. Which, if you listen to this show, you're thinking to yourself, this is already the worst show. It can't be worse than last episode. True. But I'm not going to let you decide on that one. What we're going to do, because it's nearly Christmas, and I've only got a couple more episodes left before I have a break, and I don't do any more podcasting. That's what I do. I don't want to podcast at Christmas. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that does six or so podcasts already, but then goes, right, Christmas Day, I'm podcasting in front of my family at Christmas dinner when they sit there and say, Adam, put the microphone down, pass the fucking gravy, you idiot. Because they talk to you like that anyway. I used to have a microphone last year, didn't even podcast. I just sort of walk around with a microphone interviewing people. And yeah. I don't think I'm getting invited to Christmas dinner this year with my parents. But anyway. So what I've done, I'm going to piece together what I could salvage from the drunken episode that was recorded. To be honest, it's not going to be a lot. And do you know what? You guys are probably not going to notice. You're going to go, it sounds like this every week. Yeah, it may do. But for me, I know it doesn't sound that good because I was in the room with them. You did not see their eyes, their pupils. God, it was scary. It was like walking into some lonely pub in Ireland. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that analogy was going. I don't know what to say. There's no one here to talk to. I'm on my own. Me and even my dogs aren't here. Dogs are asleep upstairs. They've banished me from the bed. My dogs have got to sleep on the bed, and I'm sitting downstairs. It's not even 5 o'clock on a Saturday evening. That's right. I'm doing this on a Saturday evening. I've got no friends. You're my friend, though. Okay. But I don't want any of your pity. Not that I'm going to get it anyway. What we're doing, I'm going to piece together some bits. So whilst I do that, I'm going to turn this podcast into an interview podcast. Yeah, see, I do that. I throw my name out into the ring, in the Twitter ring, and I tell people that, Twitter ring. And I tell people, hey, who wants a chat? And I actually do get some people that say, yeah, I'll have a chat. And surprisingly, some people are interesting to talk to. Yeah, I'm not talking about you, blimey. I'm not going to interview you. No one wants to hear what you say after what happened last episode of your singing. So this episode, I chatted to the lovely Amelia Reed. She's got a very nice posh voice. Makes me sound really common. So I had to kind of, if I do sound a bit more, you know, posh in the interview, it's because I tried to up it. Because when I first heard her voice, I was like, oh no, I'm going to sound really common. Common than usual, more common than usual. And people are going to be like, Adam, you poshed up. Yeah, I do posh up, right? I like to adapt. That's what I do. So, yeah, we talked to Amelia Reed. She works in the film industry, people. Yes, she does. She's makes me look like I don't do anything. And I hope she makes you feel bad doing nothing. Be creative, people. Woohoo! Make a podcast. Or don't. You know, get a life, maybe. Go out there, make films. Do something worthwhile. I don't know. But, yeah, I had a chat with her for about 20 minutes, so we're going to play that out. Because, A, this is what I thought up. A, she's probably going to get some of her friends to listen, and they're listening to me right now. I'm going to go, guy, mate, Adam, get on with it. I want to hear what you've got to say to her. I don't care what you've got to say. I want to hear her talk. I'm like, yeah, all right, okay, I'll put it on first, because then at the end of it, you might not want to keep on listening. And I warn you now, this is the podcast nobody's listening to, and I'm keeping it that way. All right, especially after today, it'll be the podcast nobody wants to listen to. I think it might be changing to next year after what you're going to hear after the interview. The interview's nice. The interview's like really good. It's like Chalk and Cheese's episode. You have a nice interview where I'm actually polite. I don't even think I swear for 15, 20 minutes. I mean, that's amazing. That's brilliant. And that's amazed me now. Me saying it out now, I'm now amazed that I didn't swear. Well, I don't think I swore. I might have. No, I don't think I did. Oh, bollocks. Oh, see, there you go. I've already started. We're going to play it out. I'm going to muster up whatever I can salvage of 71, put it in there, bam. You can listen to that, make your own mind up, maybe laugh at Will Nash, because you probably don't hear me. I'm just sitting there scared in the corner, like Jodie Foster and The Accused. That's what I felt like in that room. It wasn't nice at all. And, yeah, I really hope that you enjoy it. But, yeah, please, listen to the nice little interview we've got. Trying to be nice, trying to make it professional. It's a movie podcast, people. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get interviews with people from now on. I'm going to Jeremy Paxman. Paxman, not Paxman. I don't even know Paxman is. Jeremy Paxman. Jeremy Paxman. And if you're American, I've gone all... I don't know who's a guy. Larry King. That's it. Gone all, he's universal, isn't he? Piers Morgan. No. I'm not as annoying as Piers Morgan. Maybe. Do you think I'm annoying? Think I was annoying as Piers Morgan? Anyone know who Piers Morgan is? We sent him over to America and he got a really high profile job. And then you'll hate him. Good. We hate him hearing it as well. But he still gets work. Maybe me being hated works. Maybe that's why I do so many podcasts. The more I do, the more people hate me. The more people hate me, the more work I get. Who knows? I'm rambling now. Okay, so, yeah. Let's go into a little chat with Amelia Reed. And then you can hear the train wreck of a podcast that was episode 71. So, yeah, enjoy. Hello, Amelia. How are you today?
Hello, I'm really well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. You been up to much recently?
Not much, mainly working.
Right, okay, so explain to the listeners exactly what your job is.
Right, well, I work in the film industry in a freelance capacity as a kind of development consultant and producer. And I work alongside a couple of much more experienced producers than myself, and I assist them in making their feature films. And I also work on my own projects, producing much smaller films.
Right, okay. So you kind of, you're working in the background where that people don't really see. You piece things together, help people.
Yeah, behind the camera.
Yeah. So what sort of things does that entail?
Everything from reading scripts and development developing stories and characters, right through to being on set and working in actual production, through to post-production and overseeing contracts and visual effects and those sorts of things.
Right, okay. So name an example of a film that people may have seen and what the sort of job you did behind it.
Recently, I was the post-production assistant on a film called Fast Girls, which came out in the summer, yep. Just before the Olympics. And it was written by Noel Clarke. And it did really well. It was a really fun, happy, sort of inspiring, life-affirming film about four female runners who make up the British relay team.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw it a couple of weeks back, I think it was. It's a really good film.
Oh, cool. What did you think?
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I'm a massive British film fan, so I love anything that's kind of set around London or anything that's very British in a sense. So when I watched that, and especially with the Olympics that was going on at the time, it was really kind of patriotic and really, really fun to watch. And yeah, I'm a massive Noel Clarke fan, so anything he does, I'm always a fan of, and I'd always watch.
There you go. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect film for you.
Yeah, and yeah, I think it worked. I think it was good. Like you said, it was a kind of family film, but also more aimed for the sort of teen adults and that. And yeah, I think it worked out really well. Great actresses, isn't it? Great up and coming actresses, I thought.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, Lily James in particular has gone on to Downton Abbey, and I think she's filming a couple of new features now. So yeah, great cast.
Oh yeah, definitely. And so when you were sort of working behind that, how did you get into it? Did you help read the script of that one, or would you sort of jump aboard halfway through?
Yeah, actually, I had read the script for that about a year previously. The producer had sent it through just to get some feedback. So I read a couple of versions of the script, and I hadn't read it for a few months. And then I came on in post-production when it had, you know, it had already been wrapped, and we were really into the kind of publicity stage. And so I saw the finished film, and it was really interesting to see the difference between the first, you know, draft of the script that I read a year before and to watching the finished product.
So with these sort of films, like where you have to kind of work from the back and then work with all the people on it, is because obviously a lot of people don't understand, people just sort of, they think, oh, film's just sort of picked up, script, then it's made, then it's out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it, obviously. I know that, but could you explain sort of like some sort of obstacles you've got to overcome to get the film from script then out for people to see it? Because it's a long process, isn't it?
It is. Money is always the biggest obstacle.
Yeah.
Finding money, finding funding for your film is always the biggest obstacle. But it really does come from the script. If you have a great piece of writing that actors really engage with, and that, you know, great talent really want to attach themselves to, then you start to have, you know, an interesting package that will draw financing to the project. So it really does begin with the script. And from there, it moves through development, a lot of pre-production, planning, budgeting, and so on until you're actually shooting it. So I would say that those first few months are sometimes the hardest, trying to get the script out there and trying to get it read and trying to get a lot of people behind the project and believing in the script and the film.
Have you ever had any examples where you fought for a project to get made and you put a lot of effort into it, but it's just not worked? Like, so the script was good, it was ready, but you couldn't get the budget sorted, you couldn't get the time in, you couldn't get the production up and going, and it kind of, that kind of put you down a bit when you can't get something made?
I haven't personally had that experience, but I have had friends who have been through that, and you know, they've almost had the script and the cast and the crew all ready to go, and at the last minute, some tiny bit of funding falls through.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing is called off. That did happen to a couple of producers I know a year ago, and it's just one of those things. And it obviously can be so disappointing.
Yeah.
It really is a balancing act, trying to get the cast and the crew on board whilst raising the finance at the same time, and you're really trying to get each piece of the puzzle to fall in. and everyone's schedules have to work, and then the money has to come in at the right time, and it's really hard. That's a really difficult part of the process, and sometimes you can still be finding funding whilst in the middle of a shoot, and that can be incredibly stressful for a producer. That's a really difficult balancing act.
So with this job, like you said earlier, you were trying to make your own projects.
Yes.
What sort of things are you trying to do yourself?
Well, I've just made a short film starring Hugh Bonneville. Right. And that shot in January, and it's been in post-production for a couple of months. We've pulled in a lot of favours, and we've got a really nice short film now that is almost ready for everyone to see. So that I have produced and directed, and I produced it with a friend of mine who wrote it. And we pretty much got it together with almost no budget at all, no money, and just called in a lot of favours from friends and people within the industry. So that's the only thing that I have made myself. I write a couple of things. I've got a couple of ideas going, and I'm, as I have been talking to you about, I'm just producing my second short film, which will hopefully shoot in February or March of next year.
Oh, okay. So the short film sort of aspect you're doing at the moment, are you doing that as a kind of calling card sort of thing, so you could go maybe direct into directing feature films? Or is it something that you've always wanted to do? Do you just wanted to make short films and get them out there?
Well, it absolutely is a calling card. It's a way of, you know, it's your showreel. Mm. It's a way of showing people your style of directing and that you can produce, because that is what I'm looking to do in the future, to move on to feature films. That's kind of the end goal.
Yeah.
But also I had spent a lot of time reading a lot of scripts and going to a lot of screenings and critiquing other people's film as other people's work. And I thought, I should probably make something myself, because I keep judging everyone else's work and I've never tried to do it myself. So I felt that it was kind of important for me to go out and put myself out there the same way that other people do, and you know, put myself up for critiquing just as much as I critique everyone else. I wanted to contribute something to the industry that I love so much.
That's pretty cool. I mean, obviously I've made a couple of short films and that myself.
But all right.
They've never been on the level of, I would say, professional level.
Okay.
I'm not saying, obviously, I haven't just picked up a camera phone and filmed my cat running around the living room and put some credits on it. It's nothing like that. I actually wrote an actual storyline, and it was a 10-minute short, and actually had narrative and that. But my idea is that I'm sort of stuck in the kind of limbo of, like, right, I've shot this, I've edited it, now what?
Well, have you thought about putting it out into festivals? Once your short film is made, you pretty much want everyone within the industry to see it. It's not really something that's... there's not kind of a public desire for short films. You know, they used to play short films, you know, at the beginning of features in cinemas, and they don't really do that anymore. So it really is kind of an industry thing now that people want to see short films. Festivals are a brilliant way of getting out there, and they're a great way of getting it to the public that you might be able to reach with your short film to a greater audience than maybe if you just uploaded it on YouTube or something, which is a great way to get people to see your short as well.
Yeah, I mean that's what I did. I mean, because I did it over a year ago now, and I chucked up on YouTube, and it's had nearly 1,000 hits, like views, which I thought, well, that's pretty good, because I didn't know I knew 1,000 people.
That's good.
But yeah, it's kind of like in the future now I'm looking at doing other stuff, and like, I'm thinking, right, do I just kind of stick to the level of, like, if I just chuck it up on YouTube and then try and push it out there through Twitter and Facebook and all the other social networking, like, hopefully, like, I just want people to see it at the moment. So if I wanted, like, to push it forward, film festivals are definitely the way to go.
Absolutely. There are some great film festivals out there, and some ones that really do celebrate short films. And I would recommend submitting it for all of those. It can cost money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would recommend definitely putting it forward for film festivals. If you want people within the industry to see it, and if that's where you see yourself going, if you really want to direct and really want to produce, you've just got to get out there. You've got to make stuff, and you've got to try every avenue to get people to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with your sort of stuff, your short films that you're doing, when you said you called in favours, I mean, obviously that's probably quite a nice thing to look back and go, look, I've got a short film to do. I need a favour. And then you could ask someone, so not necessarily just someone famous, but someone who has kind of help that they can give you. That must be like a nice feeling that you can get that.
Yeah, well, it's really tough making films anyway. Yeah. And if you're making a short film, you more often or not have very little budget behind it unless you've got some sort of grant or funding.
Mm.
And, you know, favours are the way to go about it. And within short films, there is a culture of doing stuff for free and helping out your friends, because short films don't usually take more than maybe a week to film, something like that. So they can be sort of a small investment of time to make a nice project, especially if you like the work. If you like the script and you think the cast is good, it can be a great credit on anyone's showreel.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, have you done any acting, or are you just purely behind the camera?
I have. When I first started out, I was doing acting. I was in a short film myself, and I did a couple of plays. I pursued that quite strongly when I came out of university. At university, I'd done a lot of acting, a lot of theatre, a lot of musical theatre. So I really wanted to do that when I left, and I attended the American Academy of Dramatic Arts over the summer, pretty much a year after I left university. So I was pursuing the acting alongside the production, and eventually production just kind of took over.
Mm.
And so I've dedicated the last year or two to being behind the camera and to expanding my knowledge and getting more experience and building up that side, because you get a great insight to how everything works when you're behind the camera and you're not just auditioning for things, and you all of a sudden have more control over what you're working on as well. You're not just dependent on a director liking you or a casting director liking you. You can kind of take control of your own work a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, with the whole sort of helping out, like, go back to the original questions, like what you do when you work in the production and the budgeting and that.
Yeah.
Is that when you get the scripts and all that at the beginning and something, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to name any sort of bad scripts you've read, but out of 100, so say at a percentage, how many of them would you look at and go, that's just never going to get made?
Quite a lot.
Yeah?
I would say that I read a lot of good scripts.
Hmm.
Sometimes even good scripts, they won't get made. I would say I turned down more scripts than I pushed forward.
Right.
On average.
Okay. You still there?
Yeah, I am. I'm still here.
Oh, sorry, I thought I'd gone down for a second then. With the scripts that you do sort of turn down, is it a lot of it, because there's a lot of it comes down to taste as well, doesn't it?
Because absolutely.
You can't sit there and say, like, well, I know exactly what everybody wants to see. You got this, you know, I know my taste. I know what sort of films that I wouldn't watch, and I know what films I would watch. But then the person next to me may be complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be difficult when you're looking at it from that perspective of saying, right, this could be really good.
Yeah.
But this also is going to get nowhere. If that kind of makes sense.
I mean, you have to be really objective when reading a script. I'm not a huge fan of really gory horror films.
Oh, yeah.
But I understand that they sell really well. So when I'm reading a script, I may not be particularly enjoying it, but I have to remove that sort of element of my thinking and look at it from a commercial point of view and think, well, there is an audience out there for this kind of horror.
Yeah.
You know, I would maybe put it forward if it was a good script.
Well, okay. So is there any like films that people would have known as well that you've kind of pushed through that you've been like really happy that have gone on to do well? And actually Farscale you worked on?
None that I've pushed through personally.
Okay.
I have read a lot of scripts that have been made, but they weren't made because of anything to do with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have just finished work on a film called Belle, which is by the same producer who did Fast Girls and the Iron Lady. And that is in post-production at the moment, so I'd say that would be one to watch for next year.
Okay.
I'm currently working with a director and a producer on getting two feature films made, hopefully next year. So if we were having this conversation this time next year, hopefully I'd be able to say those films I had pushed through and they were made and they were doing really well.
Well, hopefully this time next year we'll have a chat and you can be like, told you.
Yeah, we can have a catch up and yeah, hopefully they will have both been made.
Okay. So a quick question before we go then.
Sure.
In sort of the industry, you meet a lot of famous people.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously, as somebody who sort of I'm interested in sort of the entertainment industry, is like, what is it like when you first meet a lot of these famous people? And it's on a work aspect. It's not, because obviously, if I met a famous person, it's usually just me bumping into them and, you know, or they're working. Whereas you're on a work level together. You're not there as a fan, you're there to work with this person. Have you kind of gotten over sort of starstruck, or do you always get starstruck by people that you have always liked?
Yeah, no way. I always get starstruck by people that I like. I don't think that's ever going to change. You just have to rein it in and yeah. not act on your impulse to go and touch them or hug them or something like that. Try not to stare too much or make too much eye contact. But no, I've always, you know, if I'm working on a project and I really admire the talent or I've really respected the director's work, I just rein in my impulses.
Right, okay. Is there anybody that you've almost gone over and touched their face?
Yeah, George Clooney. I was working at the London Film Festival and he was opening and closing the festival with two of his films. I think it was Fantastic Mr. Fox and Men Who Stare at Goats. And I found it really difficult not to kind of just go and stand near him. I just kind of ended up sidling up to him and just standing near him, that's all.
Okay. And you were just like a lurker. It's like a lurker just standing next to George Clooney trying to get in the shot.
Pretty much, yeah. And I did have to... I wasn't very good But it was George Clooney, I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's A-list. I think we'll allow that.
Yeah.
All right, then... okay, so is there any sort of advice you'd want to give out to anybody out there that wants to get creative? Not necessarily just do what you're doing, but just be creative in general.
Creative in general? I mean, not even in film?
Well, in film, but if people want to write, they want to do writing, they just want to go and direct, edit, write scores or something. Just they want to get in there and be creative. And what sort of thing would you say? What gets you creative?
Well, I would say don't ever stop writing, or don't ever stop, you know, composing your own scores. You've got to have your own body of work and you've got to keep testing your own boundaries, and people respect you a lot more if you come and say, I've actually got this script that I've written, or, you know, I have been composing this music. You know, hone your craft and you know, try and build up your own body of work, and with that as your kind of base, just get out there, get internships, offer to be a runner on set, because, you know, you're always learning. If you're on set, if you're just putting in the hours, you are always picking up on stuff. And the more you can educate yourself on how films are made, how the industry works, the better. Just keep informing yourself.
All right, okay. Oh, well, that was brilliant. Thanks very much, Amelia.
Thank you. Thanks okay. for having me on your show.
That's not a problem. Okay, so that was my chat with Amelia Reed. If you want to follow her on Twitter, you can, at Amelia Reed. It's just so simple. I mean, why do people go out there with these weird names, Twitter names? But she has such a simple Twitter name because it's her name. And that is Emiliaried. I don't know why to spell it out for you. You can probably find it anyway. It's not Amelia. I probably get calling her Amelia
you know, with an A. But that's how I speak. It's Emilia. So, yeah. But she sounded nice, didn't she? All nice and posh. And polite. Very polite. I felt a bit like she was expecting me to be a bit more posher. A bit more kind of like, right, here's question one. What is the politics of the film industry today? Was blah, blah, blah. No. I think what I said, the most intellectual question I asked was, have you met any famous people? See, that's what you get from me. Have you met any famous people? Have you touched any famous people? Not like that, you know, but, you know, she almost touched George Clooney's face, like she said. I mean, who wouldn't? Well, I wouldn't. Why would I want to touch George Clooney's face? That'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Yeah. But I've got a dog barking next door, if you can hear that. If you can hear any barking, it's not me. Obviously not. It's my dog. Little yappy thing. Yeah. Shh. Shut up. Go on the podcast on my own. Because I've got nothing better to do. So, yeah. Emilia Reid. And hopefully, we'll get her back on the podcast. Because that's what I like to do. I like to just sort of grab people for the podcast and never let them go. That's why Rita Ramnani keeps coming back. She can't get rid of her. One of these days, she's just going to sort of run over this podcast. One of these days. Rebecca Ferdinando? Can't get rid of her. Not that I'd want to, but she, you know, I won't let her go. I'm like, no, you ain't going anywhere. You signed a contract with this podcast now. You're stuck. And, yeah. A couple of people got away, though. Yeah. I interviewed a couple of people, and they ain't come back. I think one of them blocked me on Twitter. Bit rude, but I don't know. Okay, alright guys, what I did, I have pieced together something. I said something, it's not something, it's something. See, Will ain't here to tell me that I'm saying things wrong, so I'm sort of saying everything wrong anyway, and you're like, Adam, speak properly, man. We just had Amelia on and she spoke properly and makes you sound like an inbred. I'm not inbred, I'm not an inbred. See, I can't even say that. But okay, I have pieced together something. Again, something. Just, if I say something, I mean something, alright? So I piece together something, and, yeah, you're going to hear it. Trust me, it's not great. You might find it funny. I found it a little bit embarrassing, but it's what it is, I guess. But, no, there is no but to it. Fuck it. You've got to listen to it. If you don't listen to it, switch off now. And just tell me. Oh, got a tweet. Got a tweet, a live tweet. Whilst I'm recording this. Nope, no, I haven't. My phone. Oh, another one. Okay, yeah, so, yeah, if you're going to stop now, because I know some people are, especially Amelia's fans and friends and family and work colleagues, are probably like, this guy is an idiot. Amelia, never go on this podcast again. That's probably what they're telling her. Like, she's going to run away. She's like, oh, God, I'm probably going to get like one of them things. Like, please take this podcast down. I don't want to be associated with this trash. Yeah, so if you're going to like leave now, tweet me and hashtag go home. Just to me. Hashtag go home. Don't know why. See, this is why I couldn't do a radio show on my own. Couldn't do a podcast. I feel like Dirty Pete from the Dirty Rotten Show. Talking to myself. Right. Okay, I'm going to be off now. Here's the rest of the show. Enjoy what you can. And yeah, I shall speak to you soon. Hashtag go home. episodes, and you joined in number 20. No, 21. 21, sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck, 50 episodes you've done.
Yeah. Oh, it's my 50th.
Woohoo!
Yay! Half a century.
Does anyone actually remember when Ash joined?
Yeah, 32.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
33, maybe. Maybe 34. It's one of the 30s.
30-something.
30-something. It weren't that far.
I was 30-something, and now I'm still 30-something.
I've got to admit, I'm a little worried because I tend to pop up at these at pivotal moments and everyone gets battered.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? How whenever you join us, you're there for 2 weeks.
It is. It's like I never leave. Never like
2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Twax on, twax off.
Twax on, twax off.
It's like a twat eating the Twix.
What are you saying about Marcus?
He's saying I'm a twat. That's what he's saying.
Only every other episode.
Yeah.
So it's like Ash, actually.
It depends whether I get twatted or not.
So the Oddcast podcast, the Movie Century podcast, nobody is listening to, part of the Pod Gods Network and the Barker Podcast Collection.
Woo fucking who?
Boom.
Boom, sorry, yes.
Shaka-laka-laka-laka-laka-laka.
Hashtag not listening, part of Pod Gods Network 2. And we are here to entertain the nation and the world with our random ramblings.
Yeah, I'm with Will on this one.
What?
We're here to entertain three of the nation.
It's a very inept nation if we're entertaining them.
What nation, though?
Hang on, have you seen The X Factor?
I have, sadly.
Yeah, so
yeah, we're better.
It shows you how easily the nation is entertained.
Yeah. Actually, you know, we're fucking brilliant then on that scale.
I think we're a damn sight better.
Gods.
Yeah.
We actually have some level of intelligence to this discourse.
Yeah.
Rather than, well, I like the people that I sponsored to be the people on my sponsored team, and I'm going to get them a record deal because I have no fucking idea about music. But I do know if I take a perfectly good song and I let these fuckers mangle it, it'll sell records for Christmas.
You're Irish because...
Louis Walsh.
I think one of them's Irish.
Yeah.
Louis Walsh.
You're going to be a Walsh big star.
Yeah.
For letting that person dance to the tune of a barking dog.
What?
Oh, no, that was that Scottish bird.
Hmm? What?
What?
No.
Who's the famous Scottish bird?
The ugly one.
The big fat one. Yeah.
The moment I said ugly, you got it.
She turned up. She Otherwise turned up the first time. The first time she turned up, she had a little Walkman with speaker attached to her hip, and she was singing along to a yapping dog.
Picture I'm getting in my head now. I'm picturing the fat autistic kid bloke from The Saint About Mary with the headphones.
Basically, that is Susan Boyle.
Everything about baseball?
Although, ironically, you say that and you're standing, sitting there in your pair of headphones.
You didn't like to jump on my jab.
Being very fat and autistic.
My jab.
Everything about baseball?
Have you heard my podcast?
Everything about my podcast?
Boom!
Boom!
Where's my tennis ball? Franks and Beans!
Oh, that is a great film. Oh,
and you've still got foam attached to your nose, well.
How the hell did you get to the Franks by the Beans?
By the way, I'm Adam. You're
not Adam.
You're
Well.
You're and you are Marcus. Or maybe
Adam West. Still not allowed to speak my own name.
But no, the name that shall not be spoken.
I've got to use my. Actually, I was going to say slave name, but that's actually really dark and twisted. We don't really know. I was going to turn it around and say Adam is a completely nice cunt, which was going to be my slave name.
It's not really turning it around.
No, it's not. It's just why I didn't bother.
It's just saying it as it is,
anyway,
really.
I'm Marcus from MovieCom.
Hello, Marcus from MovieCom. How are you today?
I'm good. Since the last time you saw me on Tuesday.
And what do you say to Master?
But anyway, we're with good people here.
Let's carry on.
And
Ash. Don't come across as friends.
Yes.
Ash just sits there.
We're not friends. We just tolerate each other.
I enjoy myself.
Do you know what I love about this podcast is the fact that every other person that listens to it, whether it be people from the Pod Gods Network that feel like they know us because we're in the same network together, or brand new listeners such as Nishi Neff, who is like your fan.
Not brand new. He's been there for fucking months.
Right, one of the newest. He came through after MovieCom. Found us through MovieCom.
Well, basically, he listened to MovieCom and then he found a better podcast.
Do you know what?
Oh, harsh, dude. Yeah. That is harsh.
Harsh but valid.
Harsh but... Poppycock, sir. Poppycock.
Always turned into a Black Adam episode. Go on.
Hurrah, hurrah, with bells on.
That's a bloody good impression.
Am I still Ash?
Always.
But no,
sadly.
What I like that is every other person has their kind of their views on who does what on the podcast. You're known as like... Alright. People like you for the way you are, Will. People don't argue with you. They just
I'm known as the people like you couldn't find the term.
Loud and pedantic, I believe is the term.
Extremely loud and pedantic man.
Well, do you remember how Kia was described as the pedantic fun sponge?
Yes.
I always liked that term, to be honest.
I don't think you're as pedantic as him because you're funnier.
than he ever was.
Oh, I'm still as pedantic, but I just do it in a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you come across as like lovable lump Will.
You're like a good teacher as opposed to a complete cunt who ruins your education.
Do you know what
and you end
like?
Up working in the whorehouse because of them.
Do you know what you're like? You're like that teacher. When you first start school, you got that teacher that everyone hates because he's so fucking nasty and rude. But over the years, when you're there, you grow to realise, he's fucking dry as fuck. He's actually really funny. So by the time you're about to leave school, you'll think, I want to be him when I go out because he doesn't give a shit. You're like the guy from In-Betweeners. You're like the headmaster from In-Betweeners.
Yeah, I know you mean, because we actually saw his stand-up stuff in Chelmsford.
Yeah, really tall guy,
Greg Davis.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Greg Davis,
yes. He was very funny. I loved his... the name of his whole sketch was something like throwing cheese balls at the dog.
Firing cheese balls at
Firing cheese balls to the dog. And it was just a description of the stuff we'd been doing on a holiday in Spain, where there was this stray dog, and they'd basically rented a house at the top of this fucking mountain and hadn't got any supplies in and realised they had to walk all the way down this fucking massive hill to get to the bottom to go to the shop. So they did that, and basically they bought 3 bottles of wine and a big bag of cheese balls for the day's provisions, walked back at the top, and there was this stray dog, and they sat there with like this catapult. That they bought wine, cheese balls, and a catapult. And basically, they spent most of the afternoon firing cheese balls at this stray dog. And I fucking think that's genius. I love it. I love it.
I've actually seen that stand-up. What he did was on TV the other week, and I watched it. He's very, very funny. He does remind me a little bit of you.
Really?
Yeah, just in the humours.
Is he sexy as well?
Yeah, very sexy.
Okay, that's good to know.
That's what you wanted to hear. Anyway.
Yeah, and he has half a beard, though.
Yeah. And Ash, everyone thinks Ash is just the guy that doesn't either speak or speaks nonsense.
I think that sums him up nicely.
It does. Even recent like comments on it.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah. Everybody's got their views on me. I mean, I think I'm the one that nobody likes. Because they're like... Oh,
you talk too much.
Yeah, because I have so many bloody podcasts.
You don't let me say anything.
Yeah, so Marcus...
You hold the podcast together, old boy.
Yeah.
Because none of us would fucking do any of this shit if it wasn't for you.
No.
But that's the way it is.
If it wasn't for the Rehypnol that you keep leaking into all of our beer, we'd never be here.
You get the impression that I'm blackmailing you somehow.
Oh, you're driving me home later.
Of course not. You're not doing that. Definitely not. Definitely not.
Tapping on a... Tony Morse code. Help us.
Yeah.
Alright, should we go on a feature or something? Because it's all gone deadly quiet.
Yeah.
So the other week, right, I was filming for a play. They did Blackadder Goes Forth.
Yes.
And it got me going back to watch Blackadder.
Fucking beautiful.
Because I've never actually seen full episodes. I've seen bits and clips.
Really?
Dude, you're missing out. You really are.
You've not watched one full episode.
No, I have now. I've gone back and I've watched the entire Goes Forth series.
Yeah,
which you can really enjoyed.
You can also watch series 3 and series 2, but you can't watch series 1.
Despite
the fact it had Brian Blessed in it.
Explain what Blackadder is, because a lot of people in America, I think some people get it, they know what it is. A lot of people are just like, what is Blackadder?
What you've got is a story of each series is based on a character called Edmund Blackadder, but we're talking this kind of... ancestry thing going on. So as they go through time, there's another Edmund Blackadder born, but he's a weaselly little cunning shit. So the first one, he's too weaselly and horrible, but you get to the second one and he's like a courtier to Queen Elizabeth. And he's a weaselly shit. But it's funny as hell because he's always coming up with these terrible schemes, and he's got Percy and Baldrick.
Is Weasley in the first one? Is not Weasley in the second one?
Oh, cunning.
Cunning is a cunning.
He
bastard.
Becomes cunning and more and more cynical.
Yeah.
Series one is a Weasley little shit.
That's the medieval one. Isn't it?
And that's crap.
But he's got King Richard.
Boy, bless him.
He turns into a cunning fucker.
Okay.
Thing is, he's in the same role, isn't he, throughout all of his ancestry? He's kind of just below the throne or the seat of power, you know, black
that's
and
forth. He's the hanger-on, he's the Grand Vizier.
He's just below... Oh, love that.
Grand Vizier.
He's a controlling power to the throne, to the power. He's the one that tells them what to do. Yeah. Until you get to Blackadder Goes Forth, which is based during World War I, the one that the Americans kind of turned up to in the end, you know.
They even mentioned that, didn't they, in the last episode. The Americans are here.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Then,
so let's go over the top and we'll get shot.
Yeah,
totally. But in that, he's better just a captain.
Shot by the Americans.
But he has to lead his squad over the top. But it's just showing kind of the way the aristocracy worked, but also being funny as fuck at the same time. Mm. Behold, I have created a nugget of pure gold. Well, it's more kind of green. A nugget of pure green. It's not so much a nugget as a blob.
So, Blackadder 2, what sort of time period is he in that one?
That was Queen... Hang on, I said it.
Elizabeth the First.
The third one is King George the Third, isn't it? Madness of King George the Third. Yes. That King George? But he was Prince in that one.
Prince. Hugh Laurie, he kept going on about his socks, didn't he? Or something like
that. Yeah, played by House.
That was the second... second one, he was the socks,
I thought it was... And no, because it was Hugh Laurie with his big pompadour wig. I thought that was the third one, wasn't it?
Yeah, the pompadour wig was the third one.
They bring some of the socks back in.
But and then goes forth, you've got him playing Captain Blackadder, and answering to him is George, who's the lieutenant, who went to Cambridge with Melchett.
Yeah.
Who was the, who's the general...
I think General Melchett?
Yeah, Lord Melchett, episode 2.
And right at the end he goes, Field Marshal. He says, no, not yet.
So, also, I ended up watching the special they did, because Blackadder goes back and forth.
Yes.
Where he goes back in time. And goes, it's just a half-hour special. Forth,
yes.
Yeah, well, it was made for the Millennium Dome. Do you remember the Millennium Dome? When it was really shit. When they first built it, and
it was a folly. It was a big fucking tent that our government built for the Millennium celebrations. And went, but fortunately, it was turned into a big fuck off arena. And I've only been there once. I went to see Peter Kay live, and I tell you what, basically, I was sitting there and I was able to watch this tiny, tiny matchstick sized speck of a man, but I could watch him on the video screens, and I thought. Wow, if I was sitting at home watching him on video, I wouldn't actually need to be paying £7 for a fucking beer that I don't like.
Do you feel like that if you go see anything where you end up sitting at the back? Of like, if you go see a football match or if you go to watch a band play and you're stuck at the back, do you feel like, why am I here?
It depends on the size of the venue.
See, I went to the Indigo, I saw a random sort of Japanese rock band I've been following for years called Larkin CL. And it was at the Indigo, so it was a smaller one. It's a smaller venue in there.
Someone's getting all arty here.
No, I'm not. I'm just...
I was at the Indigo.
Not arty. And just weird. Well, no, it was the tiny one because they're Japanese. They're not going to go to the big venue.
They didn't sell normal beer.
No. But the point I was making was I felt a bit sad because I like the dome because it looks like a 1920s village put under a giant tent.
John Peel liked
however,
Japanese
it runs out.
Before it was
no, called. But it runs out. The part where you go to the part where it's you got British music and stuff and you've got this whole bit. And beyond it just looks like a really disused space station because there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And that's for a good quarter or maybe half of the dome. So I just thought, well, it's not bloody used. Well, no, because the O2 arena is only a tiny bit in the middle.
Okay.
It's not the whole dome. It's not
dome
used.
It's the big thing. The teeth from space.
Did you ever go to the Millennium Dome when it was the Millennium Dome?
Nope.
No.
I've never been.
No one
I thought it was
shit. I've not seen it from space and I've not seen it from close up.
I went in 2000 or was it 99?
Was it a school trip?
It was a school trip in 99.
Fuck. What the hell? How old are you, Marcus?
I'm 32.
Okay, same age as me.
And he's a cunt.
So
I hate
still
you. I hate you.
Fucking bollocks.
Yeah.
I left
fuck off. Get out.
96.
Get out of here. Yeah. But, yeah, so I ended up watching.
Get your ass to Mars.
Right, okay. Oh, yeah, so I just wanted to bring up Blackadder just to say that I've actually been watching it and I actually really, really find it.
Well, that's because it was good. Now watch the young ones.
Flibble.
Oh, I love the young ones. I love the young ones. I think I've got all those.
Yeah.
Is that your inner Jimmy Savile coming
out? You've got one of them. You haven't got all of them.
No, I've got all of them. There's only two series of the young ones and there's about 12 episodes.
What's for dinner tonight?
Which character out of the young ones do you reckon you are?
I'd be Rick.
Yes. What, the lentil eating?
No, that's Neil.
That's Neil.
Neil the hippie. Neil the hippie.
I can just see you as the lentil eating.
Will's Vivian.
Totally.
Crazy.
I just, my favourite one was, what's for dinner tonight? Solstice! It's Wednesday! Oh, fuck, I can't remember the
whole thing. It was so good.
I'm just doing a filler while he tries to think of it.
Sausage
dinner tonight. Sausages! It's Wednesday!
Yeah, but sausages last Wednesday.
Yes, but what else? It was sausages and plants and goldfish.
No, fuck, I'm screwing it up. Let's move on.
Well, I thought that was a nice little advert for the BBC old 80s comedies. So
it was along the lines of, but what did you cook last time?
Sausages and plants and goldfish. You dispense with your responsibilities. I'll dispense with mine.
For anyone that doesn't quite understand what The Young Ones is, it was essentially, I mean, to be brutally honest, it was a really cheaply done sitcom.
But it was fantastic.
It was just mental.
It was back when BBC comedy was proper comedy.
It had to be written because there was basically no budget. So it was all writing, characters, just quick fire, stuff after stuff, brilliant. You just started laughing. Yeah. I remember I can't remember too much about it myself, but I remember there's one scene that always sticks with me. They're trying to actually plug in, I think, a television to the wall. And he goes outside and he actually pushes the wall inwards to make it reach. And I thought that just epitomises the whole series, right?
I think one of my favourite banded moments, it reminds me of like Family Guy, just cutaways just don't make any sense. There's one where they're talking and suddenly it goes to these two guys on a raft just chatting to each other. And it's like, oh, it's so hot. And they just go on for about 5 minutes about anything random. Like, you think, what the hell's going on? And then they realise they're just sitting on a mattress in the basement.
In the basement,
and they're just sitting there talking. And they're like, that light, it's one light bulb, is so hot. And then I think it was Mike or someone who just walks in. Don't mind me. They just walk out. And there's just no point to it at all. It's just the most random show ever. But that, I think, is sort of that and Monty Python, Blackadder, that sort of comedy.
It was that same era.
Yeah. Which I think
it wasn't the same era as Monty Python, to be fair.
No, it was the start
of the Ben Elton... It was the start of the alternative scene.
It was Ben Elton wrote it. Didn't star in it.
No.
He did appear
on occasion
twice.
To be honest, I think I'm not going to argue the twice. Can you prove it? Can you back it up?
I think he was only in it twice.
I'm not going to argue it. I'm liking the fact that you're stepping up to my challenge.
But I think he was only in it twice. He wrote a lot of the shit, but
that'll do.
He didn't appear very much.
But to be honest, I think a lot without sort of things like The Young Ones and Monty Python, we wouldn't have Family Guy. Because Family Guy does the whole thing of going off from random skits, and it's very Gilliam. It's very, but it's really dark and twisted and messed up. But that whole thing of breaking from the main story, showing some random skit that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I also and then think it kind without of leads the English colonization of the United States of America or the various states that were down at the time, we probably wouldn't have had Family Guy either.
I reckon we would have.
That would have.
I reckon it would have been better.
Yeah. Well, if any Americans are listening, they should go and check out all those.
Should we reacquire it?
I think we've left it. It's like Hong Kong. We've left it long enough.
We should go. So we can actually go. Yeah, but Hong Kong, I don't think we could because they've got a million man army.
Yeah, but how many of them can actually fight without tweeting beforehand? Anyway, we're moving
basically,
on.
All we need is Wolverine.
We need to basically go back to Australia and say, we sent you here generations ago, come back and work for us, Hugh Jackman.
Let's send Ned Kelly in. Right, Adam, do you have a feature for us, please, for the love of God?
Guess the movie year.
Fuck yes.
Thank you.
We all know how to play this, don't we?
No,
please do remind us, because it's a bit complex.
10 movies, top 10 of this year. I spout them off, you tell me what year.
Are they all the same year?
Yes, they are all the same year.
Whoa.
Okay, so at number 10, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
1912.
Is that your guess, Ash?
No.
Right, Ash is at 1912, carry on.
It's not my guess, but that's my standard starting point, and I move on.
You ever seen Ferris Bueller? What do you think of it?
No, I've never actually seen it. I've deliberately avoided it because it just sounds like a cunty
movie.
Ignore the hype and all that crap.
Back of the
and just if you've got a quiet weekend, just put it on and watch it. Try not to think about what anyone has said about it.
If I've got a quiet weekend, it means my wife and daughter aren't around and I'm on my PlayStation.
This is 80s.
Well, when you're done with Skyrim or Rimming or
Sky
whatever.
Rimming.
Sky Rimming.
When you're done Skype
Sky Rimming. Across the strangle wank.
But I do recommend everybody's it. I recommend having a view. At least once. Regardless of what you think of it, it's worth a
if
view.
I can be, there's so many films I need to watch and I can't be asked to deal with very
few. I get that a lot as well.
Number 9, Ruthless People. I've never heard of it.
I have.
Yeah, what's it about?
I can't remember what it was.
Well, basically, there was this woman called Ruth, and then she vanished.
And people looked for her.
And everyone said, it's so we've gone ruthless.
Thanks, Ash, for
then they
clarifying
actually killed
that.
A couple of other people with a very small battle.
Yeah, there was a person called Tooth, and they vanished, and...
And there's a person called Wit, and he vanished as well.
Yeah, it's all down to, I'm sorry, spoiler alert, it was all down to midgets.
And then Dick disappeared.
It was replaced by Wanker.
number 8, The Thank Golden you. Child.
Not heard of Eddie that
Murphy.
Either.
That's Eddie Murphy. Yeah. With that.
Oh, what's his name
I want a knife.
Was that Eddie Talkie?
Eddie Talkie,
tell man.
Eddie Talkie. I remember Eddie Talkie being it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He just has to save a little golden child.
Yeah.
From a golden shower.
Was he a golden child? Was he Asian?
Was it Charles Dance was in
Charles
that?
Dance, yeah.
Charles Dance. His brother Numzi.
Looking at it, the Lord Tywin out of...
Look at the mic. No, the microphone.
It's a fish tank over there.
Oh, my God.
He's pointing at the fish tank.
It was pointing at the mic and you turned around.
He just looked at the fish tank and went, hello.
Ash, get the fuck on with it.
This is turning into an episode of Bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hello, Reggie. How are you, Fred?
Summer for the ladies.
Tywin, out of Game of Thrones. I'm pretty sure he was in
Charles Dance.
I
he
want
just
the
said
mic.
That 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
Thing.
After you were staring at fish tanks.
Right, Adam, next film.
Aliens.
Oh.
Jimmy Cameron's Aliens.
Yeah, 80s.
The one with the machine gun attached to the leg.
I'm not ready to commit to 19.
I'm going to pump her for a bit longer before I...
One more, come on.
Okay.
86.
Ash has gone 86. Wow, I think that's the first time Ash has shot his load before me.
I think it's the first time he's gone first, yeah.
Yeah.
Back that's to school at number 6.
Oh, that's the one where they couldn't spell school.
Yes.
Had
a young Brendan Fraser in it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hate
him.
Yeah,
he was 12.
Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire. Number
5.
Sorry,
it took me a while to... I had to separate them out just to deliberately get it wrong.
Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home.
Oh, my God.
That's the one with the whale. Yeah, saved the whale, isn't it?
I'm feeling happy.
Yeah.
What year did that
show? 86.
86.
I'm going to
go 87.
I'd say...
Yeah, I think I'm probably a couple of years out, but I'm in the ballpark.
I think you're good. I'm going next to it.
I'm
in the ballpark.
They all got it.
Oh,
everyone shut their legs.
All right, what you got? Come on.
Okay, Karate Kid Part 2, number 4.
Cunts.
Karate Kid Part 2, number 4.
Number
4. I believe I'm the only one that picked up on that.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Platoon, at number 3.
Platoon.
Darling Buds and Mate.
It was a duck-billed platypus.
I hate you, Adam.
Darling Buds and Mate.
I hate you, Adam. I'm going to sound like Blakey out on the buses. I hate you, Barker.
Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a knife. That's a big rubber cock on a stick.
What film you watch?
Oh, well, that was Crocodile Dildo. Sorry.
Crocodile did. Debbie.
And number 1 was Top Gun.
In Dallas, yes.
Top Gun with Tom Cruise.
Get it right, Adam.
Yeah. Okay, so Ash said 86, Will said 87, Marcus said 89.
It's 88 then.
Yeah, it was. 1986.
Oh, fucking hell.
Go, Ash!
Hang wow. On, no. Hang on, did you get that?
Yeah, I actually got it right.
You got it right.
Right in the eye.
I was premature on a previous episode because I said 86 then as well. I think there might be a theme here.
Hang on, isn't the phrase 86 in something when you scrap something?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, sorry Marcus, we have no idea.
Oh, that's a shame.
Right,
no, next I actually knew this thing one.
Yes, so
well done, Ash.
Ash, should we let Rita get in some business?
I think we should get Rita.
You're not going to let business. You finish that bit. Right, okay, Rita, it's time for some Rita Ramnani's Really Random Rambling Reviews.
And I'm back once again for Rita Ramnani's Really Random Rambling Reviews. With me, Rita Ramnani, obviously. Right, here's today's film. This animated film is all about penguins. Here's a little penguin fact for you. Did you know that penguins don't drink water but eat snow? And they have this gland in their nose that takes the salt out of the ocean water that they swallow when they catch fish. Pretty cool, huh? Me and my friend Helen went to a zoo once and this penguin started dancing for us, just like the film. In this film, the penguins like to dance and sing along to classic tunes. It's amazing. I want a pet penguin. They're like little butlers in tuxedos. Just so cute. So, what cute little film am I talking about?
I got a fever, and the only thing to stop it is more happy feet.
I think it might be. It might be.
I was just going to go with that every time I turn up. I don't care.
A little bit easy this week.
Well, the difficulty is when Rita did the randomness last week, just there are persons. And they talk to people or something like that. I can't remember what it was exactly.
Yeah.
But it was Marcus guessed happy feet.
That's fucking amazing.
And there was a wonderful level of sarcasm there.
Penguins are people.
Yeah, they talk.
They have a vote.
Well, they're black and they're white.
Exactly, so therefore they Michael have Jackson? To have a vote. They get two votes.
No, no, they are black and white, Marcus.
Oh, yeah, they get the one. Because yeah. The other one's taken away.
Michael Jackson, we were always confused about. Yes, but at least we'll let penguins near our children.
Well, I don't know. Emperor Penguin, new clothes, no clothes, fuck that.
Do you remember Will, do you remember?
Valid point.
We had an episode that we did when it was just me and you.
Sandpaper and penguins.
Sandpaper and penguins.
It was talking about happy feet.
It was on the highest downloaded podcast at that time.
Really?
And I really wondered why. Sandpaper and penguins.
Was it just Marcus downloading it now again and again and again?
Are there that many people that actually search on Google for sandpaper?
That's what freaked me out.
No, basically it was downloaded 5 times, which is a record for this podcast.
What happened was my internet kept crashing, so I had to keep redoing it. <over. laughs>
It was all Marcus.
So, have you ever been to the zoo and ever had a penguin dance for you?
I've been to the zoo and I masturbated into the penguin enclosure. Does that count?
Yeah.
And there was the time I got sucked off by a giraffe. I say sucked off, it actually chewed me cock off. But, you know, these things happen. You alright there, Adam?
I'm sweating. Don't feel very well.
Yeah, he's feeling like a penguin.
Of course he doesn't.
I picked one up once and got him to eat another penguin.
I like to feel like a penguin.
Pick up a penguin.
So I've done that.
What's the film?
No, it's Tim Tams.
It's obvious, isn't it?
What is it?
It's Braveheart.
It's the Michael Jackson story.
Oh, it's Moonwalker.
Yeah. Moonwalker.
Shawshank Redemption.
As opposed, yeah.
So what are you going with? Come on.
No, I've no idea.
Moonraker. What was that? Moonraker.
Moonwalker.
Moonraper.
Alright, I'm going to go with March of the Penguins.
March of the Penguins?
I'm going for the first Batman film.
Bat
Batman Returns with the big
because, no, the first, no, the first Batman film.
The one that oh, the didn't have the yeah, yeah, Batman, Batman Returns.
Yeah, the second one, that's oh, yeah. it. That's it. He returned with the penguin.
Couldn't even get it right when he was trying to be funny.
Oh, I don't give a shit. When do I ever get it right?
That's true.
I'm going to be boring and go with fucking Happy Feet. First one, not the second one.
Oh, Danny you silly fucker.
I know. Okay, this is why I'm not allowed back often, because Will tells me to fuck off and I do. He tells him to go to Mars and it takes a while to come back.
That's too bad. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I want the, the skinny Tom Cruise.
Skinny Tom Cruise?
What? Well, should
yeah,
we...
Yeah, Danny DeVito.
Should we put you all out of your misery and find out this really hard random...
I'm desperate to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today's film is Happy Feet. Is there any way you could have penguins as pets?
Well, now, Marcus, it was Happy Feet.
It was Happy Feet, you slag.
With my wind slag. Well, do you want Rita to get harder next week?
Is that a question of genetics?
Would you like Rita to give you a...
a harder one, I believe, Mr. Fraser.
Would you like it to be more difficult next week, Will?
Rita, yes. Can you please make them more difficult? I know I don't turn up that often, so feel free to slag me all you like.
But when you listen along?
I do listen along. I do listen along. But, you know, they need to be more difficult. Please.
But yes, Adam, I'm looking for the happy medium between the... It was a film with some people and they talk to each other and... Oh, look at the dancing penguins!
See, it's a nice contrast, isn't it? She was really harsh last week. She thought she'd be nice.
They have happy penguins.
It's like my happy S&M dungeon, you know. I get the whipping, No, actually, let's move on.
Yeah,
he gets the little penguins and they get
I get the whipping, I get the stroking.
Little fins. Oh, sorry, Wings.
But Ash is now thinking about penguin bondage.
Ash is thinking about M&S.
Oh, you can't beat some of that. A little bit of peck on the pecker.
It's the M&S turbo paddling. Oh, anyway, this is not just any paddling. No.
Penguin.
And what? Next feature, please.
Yes. Right. Before we move on, quickly, I just noticed that Liam Neeson's going to be in a film called The Lego Movie. 2014.
The Lego Movie.
So it's going to be a little Lego character of him being...
He's playing bad cop.
I tell you what, though, if that turns out to be Lego Star Wars, I'll fucking piss myself laughing.
Or is that when he's, like, raping someone and they go, Lego! Lego!
I will not let
just
go.
A thought.
Maybe
is that after he's made a phone call?
I will not let go.
Is that made after he's made a phone call saying I've acquired a certain set of skills? Yeah. I will not let go.
Right. Okay. Time to
Taken free. Taken up the wrong one.
Okay. Time to guess the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I name a movie. You guess what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Today's movie is called Santa with Muscles.
What? So therefore, my guess is the name of the movie is Santa with Muscles.
What's it about?
Is that with Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, you've got to give the synopsis for the film, Ash.
Hey.
Is it Jingle All the Way too? Yeah,
Arnold Schwarzenegger. What's the synopsis of Santa with Muscles?
Santa with Muscles is a very random person that has actually been in the netherworld of Finland, which is very close to the place that everybody thinks.
Like,
but Finland is
like Lapland.
Yeah, Finland is the key, though. They all come from Finland.
What's it about?
It's about a little dude who's actually a midget.
It's always dwarfs with him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always.
Every single time.
Yeah. He's been squashed by trying to do too much training. And he was lifting too heavy a weight and he actually turned into this squat little fucker that turned into a muscle little dude.
For fuck's sake.
And it was quite good.
Ash, how are you doing on the alcohol stakes?
I think I'm doing quite well now that I've hit the Hendrix.
I'll tell you what, if we do not win most drunken podcast in the Pod Gods Awards, I have no idea what we're coming with.
Is that like your version of Willow?
Willow, you fucking drunken midget cunt!
But that's your question. What does the midget little fucker do that does the stuff?
Yeah, that was the question thing that Adam asked you.
Yeah, there we go. He actually bench presses about 20 pounds. He's only small. He can't do much.
All right, Marcus, what's your synopsis on
I don't
this
know.
Film?
Everything's just gone. I think Astrid's just cleared everything. What was the question?
Santa with muscles. What's it about?
Oh, there we go.
Fuck me. That was so different from what... Santa with muscles. Well, I've only got two options. It's either three options. Either a Jingle All the Way to, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger decides to become Santa to get his kid a new present.
Yeah.
Either it's Hulk Hogan, you know, what was that bloody weird film he did?
Rando
Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando 2, but Christmas version. Or the third one is fucking Coca-Cola's Heavies. You know, holidays are coming. Fucking buy a Coke, bitch, or we'll kill you. I've got nothing else. Ash has completely weirded me out, so my brain is completely switched off. All I can think is midgets.
Yeah, Will doesn't pay any attention to me and doesn't actually look
Will,
at me.
Please,
even.
Save us.
So he's gonna go for it.
I'm going along the lines of you've got Father Christmas, and he's been sacked from his job. So he's joined a Trawler Man team. And he's going out there, and all they're doing is bottom scraping. Not in a dirty, dirty porn way, but to pull up shellfish. So Santa is pulling up these mussels, and crayfish, and oysters, and bits and pieces, and whelks, yes.
Bit of
right.
Monkfish.
No monkfish. Wrong part of the sea, Ash. Just fucking sort it out.
Is George Clooney in this as well?
No George Clooney, but basically Santa is there. And basically what he does, he's a trawlerman. Santa has become a trawlerman with his big happy beard. And what they do is they pull up all of these shellfish. And then Santa explains eventually that you shouldn't be shellfish. You should be shelfless.
Oh my God. That was basically right. The most long-winded joke ever.
And you should not be shellfish because you better watch out. You better not cry.
Yeah, but...
And that is my story.
We're telling you why.
Fuck yes.
Santa baby is coming to town and he's bringing stinky shellfish with him.
That's right. He's got all the muscles and he's trolling it.
I'm going to change my story. It's a weightlifting story about Santa. I know it makes no sense, but to be honest, wherever you've got that from, it's probably going to make no fucking sense whatsoever.
So, Adam, tell us, what's it about?
Oh,
Adam, tell us.
Okay, Santa with Muscles is actually a film made in 1996, and it's about an evil millionaire who gets amnesia and then believes that he's Santa Claus. Why with muscles? Because he's played by Hulk Hogan.
Oh, my God. You have got to be shitting me. Really?
Yeah.
That's not even Suburban movie. Commando is actually
just Hulk Hogan. I was pretty damn close.
You think Suburban Commando is great? At least he actually got to take the shit out of people by actually blowing their fucking heads off.
What the fuck?
If he's Santa, he actually turns around.
I should not be close. I was saying this in Drunken Ramblings. How the fuck did that get made?
I thought you'd see it on the screen.
No, I can't see anything.
Ash has blinded you
I'm
with
on
his
gin.
Knowledge.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you guys, stop, enough. You guys sound like morons. I mean, just complete morons. Adam, can you please just fix this? This is embarrassing. Like, you shouldn't be doing this on a podcast. Guys, just cut it out. Stop, enough. That's enough. Your listeners do not want to hear you guys talking about absolute rubbish. In fact, I don't even know what you're saying anymore. Adam, please, can you just, like, stop this and try and sort your boys out, please? This is insane. Guys, stop. Enough.
Rita, how you doing?
Adam, all right. You're not drunk, are you?
No. I'm a little bit ill.
A little bit of a cough. Want me to feel sorry for you? Yeah. Had a glass of whiskey. Make sure you felt better. Yeah?
Yeah.
No? Yeah, you did. So you are a little bit drunk.
No. One. It was only a small glass. It wasn't...
We know you're a little bit of a lightweight, though. I mean, no, seriously, you can't do that on your podcast. That's not even funny. Like, you guys sounded like idiots. I mean, Will was just getting argumentative. Like, Ash was finally talking, but he was, like, mumbling. And Marcus, I couldn't even understand a word he was saying. I mean, he was speaking a different language. And you were kind of, like, coughing midway through. I mean, I don't know whether that was just a pity cough or whatever, but it was lame. It was lame.
No, I am a little bit ill, alright? Got a cough.
Oh, here we go. Man flu.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It exists.
Yeah? Should we Wikipedia it? Do you think it's on Wikipedia?
Yeah, I think it is. And you'll get a picture of me. That's what you'll do. But I can't control the guys when they've had a drink. What am I supposed to do?
You need to, like, properly get in there and just take charge of the situation, because your listeners aren't going to be impressed with that. I mean, can you imagine, like, what would happen if, like, you know, you weren't around and you just left them to their own devices? I mean, that would be disastrous, right? Think about it. I love those guys, and I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying, for the benefit of your podcasts, you need to take control and you need to take charge of the situation.
Have you ever spoken to Will? He's like a bull in a china shop with boxing gloves on.
Yeah, no, I know that. I get that. And do you know what? It was actually nice to hear Ash finally talking, and, you know, he's kind of like that guy in The Big Bang Theory, Raj Kuthrapali, who can't talk to girls and he needs a drink to talk to women. He's kind of like that. Which is kind of endearing. I bet he gets a lot of women.
I don't think he does, though.
No, I didn't think so either. I was just being polite. Because it's Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Marcus wasn't that drunk.
I don't think.
I was sitting next to him.
Couldn't understand a word he was saying. That was like Swahili or something. I don't know.
But, you know, the guys, they try their best. I mean, what am I supposed to do? If I don't feel well and I'm sitting there trying to keep it all together and they're just arguing over Blackadder? We had a Blackadder conversation at the beginning of the show. That show has not been on telly for 30 years.
It's weird though, Adam. You seriously, I mean, just think, like I was saying, just think if you weren't there and you left the guys to do the podcast by themselves. Can you imagine? Let's say one day, you know, you're not around to do a podcast. And Barker Podcast is just a complete shambles and a complete mess. You have to think of your listeners. It's not right.
I don't think I'm that important. I don't think.
You underestimate your importance, Adam. You really do. You are the glue that binds this group together.
What, the Pritt stick?
Pritt stick. Yeah, alright. You are Pritt stick. Just putting it in a very chavvy way, but okay, you are the Pritt stick that holds these boys together. You need a kick of reality, and you need to see how important you are to this podcast, because all your listeners love you, and if you weren't around, my goodness, it'd be just chaos.
Yeah, well, if only there was a way I could find out, but I'm never going to find out, so I guess.
Well, maybe someone needs to show you. Maybe someone needs to show you just how important you are and how much you are needed in these podcasts. Maybe we need to take you through onto a little journey. A journey to show, you know, how much you mean to this podcast. Because you don't realise it, do you? Aww, let's have a moment to feel sorry for Adam.
You're really patronising, you know that, didn't you, Ria?
Yeah, a little bit. Sorry. I do it to try and gear you up. You just don't realise how good you are.
See, I don't know whether you're being sincere there or whether I've written this script and you're now reading it.
I mean, there's a little bit of that, but and I know you're going to pay me later, right?
Yeah, definitely. You get paid for everything that you do for me.
Everything that I do. Yeah. It's amazing. It's special. And Christmas is coming up, so I'm expecting some kind of, like, big present.
Yeah, about that. Lost in the post.
Maybe a song.
A song?
Yeah, a song. Maybe you, Will, Ash, Marcus all get together and do a really lovely Christmas jingle for me. and for your audience. I think they'd appreciate it.
That's all about
I
you,
think
man.
Everyone listening to me now wants this Christmas jingle from all four of you.
All right. What, you're in charge of the podcast now? Is that what you're trying to say? You come.
No. I'm just chill. No. You should do it. You should totally do it. But you are in charge of the podcast, and you need to take charge, and you need to realise your worth. So, saying that, I think we need to remind you about how important you really, really are, and take you on a little journey through all of your podcasts and see how you've developed and see how far things have come. What do you say?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh my gosh, really? Come on, it's Christmas. I'm so friggin' excited for Christmas. And this will be great because then you'll realise how important you are and how important your podcasts are, and people will love you for it. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go on a little journey. And we're going to go through all of your podcasts from the past. And yeah, it'll be so lovely and reminiscent. You'll love it.
Are you drunk?
Yes.
Thought so.
I had to. I was going to talk to you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to come barging into this podcast and tell me what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong, and tell me you're going to take me on a little journey...
Yep, and you're going to learn something.
Yeah, I look forward to that one, whatever that means. And, alright, why don't you sign us out of this podcast, seeing as you've trampled all over it, and I can't play the rest out because everybody's drunk.
Exactly, you've completely ruined it. So, I'll just say to the listeners, thank you for listening, and I apologise for the complete mess that was the last podcast, because that was just embarrassing. And now we're going to take Adam on a little journey, all of us together, through all of the podcasts, and show him how much we love him and how important this is to the listeners, how important he is to the listeners. Thank you for listening. How about that?
7 Days a Geek, in association with the Pod Gods Network, presents.
All right. It looks like we've got an ELE, an extinction level event on our hands. At approximately 1800 hours, our atmosphere was breached by a comet that sent signals off in DC like a winning slot lottery machine in Vegas. Our radars lost track of it somewhere in the mountains of a small town called Pandora Falls. Then, our job is simple. Find this rock that fell from the heavens and see if it means to make peace with us. Or, we blow the damn thing to kingdom come.
Sir, we are just over Pandora Falls now. I think you need to see this.
What in the blue bloody hell am I looking at? Land this bird, soldier! We're under attack! If it moves, shoot it!
This exciting story, please visit www.kickstarter.com and search for Extinction Level Event, or check out 7 Days a Geek on the Pod Gods Network on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.